Welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Intensive Training Podcast. Every week, we'll equip you with all the tools you'll need to become a strong leader within your campus ministry. We look forward to seeing you grow and making disciples here at Yale.
Hey everyone, it's Jenny here, and we've made it to the final week. Congrats! We now know how to read the Bible. We're humble servant leaders with strong devotional lives who can lead dynamic core groups and share the gospel with our friends. I'd say you know a whole lot. But what we're going to talk about today is probably one of the most important things for making disciples. No offense to everyone else who's taught. But let's start by doing a little exercise. So grab a pen or whatever you're using to take notes and think back on this past school year. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to write down 2 sermons that have impacted your life. Go. Okay, now I'm going to give you 5 more seconds to write down the names of 2 people who have impacted your life. Go. Okay, if I were to guess, it was probably easier to write down the names of people. And I would also guess that for many of us, we wrote down the name of a core group leader. Of course, God speaks through sermons. Sermons are important, right? Jesus taught to the crowds. But where Jesus' ministry happened was in relationships. And I can probably give you my top 2 sermons from college, but I could more easily tell you about Erin Herman and what she taught me about Jesus by being in relationship with her. So one-on-one relationships matter. If core groups can be likened to the kitchen of the house, you could say that a one-on-one is the quiet conversation 2 friends are having on the back deck while they can still hear the noise and laughter from the kitchen. And when we consider the life of Jesus, he often spoke with people one-on-one as it provided the moments for honesty, vulnerability, and change. So that's what we're going to talk about. Get ready, it's going to be a lot. But before going further, let's remember why we do this. Why do we value discipleship? What's the goal? We don't value discipleship just because it's a good idea. Discipleship is based on scripture. First, Jesus straight up tells us to, as we've talked about so often in Matthew 28. You've heard us say this like every single week, LOL. I just said LOL out loud. But it's that important. Everything hinges on making disciples. This works. And second, Paul teaches about transgenerational discipleship. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he writes, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." That's 4 generations. So our ultimate goal is to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. To equip those we mentor and disciple to do the same thing that we're doing. So that when our relationship with our disciples change, whether because you graduate or core groups get moved around, they are able to do the very same thing that you did with them. And this is the teaching others the things that Jesus has taught us. We are to pour into someone in such a way that they will, in turn, pour into others. We are to reproduce ourselves as disciples. And even more specifically for us, as discipleship leaders. This is God's plan, that we would make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So, let's get to it. What exactly is your task? What's your job description? And you may have a picture of what being a discipler means based on your experiences or ideas. But I want to be clear what you are not. One-on-one discipleship does not mean you are someone's shrink or professional counselor or pastor. People get higher ed degrees for things like that. And discipleship is something we are all called into. You must understand that while you are responsible to, you are not responsible for. A few weeks ago, Bonnie talked about John 15 and abiding. that God is the master gardener, the master discipler. And when we abide in Christ, we allow the master discipler to do his work. We are the ones submitted to his care. Yet at the same time, Scripture also talks about our part and our responsibility in this transformation. There's effort and discipline. So it's not that we don't have responsibility to act, it's just not up to us. It's not dependent solely on us. And it's certainly not dependent on you. And discipleship is a lifelong process of being transformed in every aspect of our being into the image of Christ. So you're not responsible for your core group's spiritual lives. But what Jesus does ask of us is to take responsibility to impart what we know about who Jesus is to others. So if I were to jot down your job description, it'd be this. First, let Jesus fill you so you can empty yourself. As we've talked about having a great devotional life, your first and most important one-on-one meeting is with Jesus. Second, building relationship with the goal that they would love Jesus more and know the difference the gospel makes in their lives. The goal is to build a relationship that helps your disciples closer to Jesus. So, your first task is to invite others into a discipleship relationship. This is where we follow the way of Jesus in making a selective invitation to the few for the sake of the whole. So if you're wondering if you'll need to meet with every person in your core group every week, no, that's hard. So what does this look like practically? As you invite and core groups form, split up all the names with your co-leaders. You can do this based on relationship or interest or just as the Spirit leads. Jesus discipled those who were faithful, available, and teachable. And if you regularly meet with 2 to 3 people this year who are faithful, available, and teachable, it will have been a great year. Remember, it's because we love the whole that we focus on the few. It's a strategic use of our time because we can go deep. And honestly, for the most part, this happens quite naturally. It'll be the people who are faithfully present because if they're not showing up, it's kind of hard to disciple them, and that's okay. And there'll be girls and guys that you won't be able to meet with regularly, and that's also okay. Not everyone will desire that or be in that place. So even though you might not have the ability to regularly disciple everyone, still try to grab lunch once in a while and see how they're doing. Help them take the next step of knowing more of Christ. So for example, 1 year, my co-leaders and I cast our nets really wide, invited everyone that we could, and we probably had about 10 to 15 girls involved in our core group, like in our GroupMe. And of those girls, probably around 4 or 5 over time showed hunger for God and they were available. So those were the girls that we regularly met with and discipled. And those were the girls who the following year were raised up into leadership and they did the exact same thing. They went and found more people to disciple. And of course, the rest of the girls in our group, we didn't ignore them. We still reached out to them. We still met with them, but just not in this regular meeting format that we're talking about. So after you've invited, schedule a consistent meeting. It's important to do this so that they can give you a place in their busy schedules. A consistent meeting time and place increases your chance of meeting up with the average yearly. It can be as simple as meeting once and saying, hey, does this time work again next week or the week after? And state your intentions. Have a DTR. You can say, hey, I would love to walk alongside you this year in growing in our faith. Give a focused invitation to follow Jesus together. And generally, a good amount of time to set aside is about 50 minutes to an hour. You can do every week or every other week. We have no real rules on that. But we value setting aside regular time to meet together because in a culture like Yale, that's powerful. But also remember that some parts of the discipleship process are caught, not taught. Your meeting times one-on-one should not be the only time you see them. I met with my mentor and now friend, Erin, every other week for an hour for about 2 years. She asked me a lot of questions, but she also took me grocery shopping, and we watched movies together. And I'll never forget the one night where we were sitting on her couch eating Trader Joe's snacks, and I had shared something hard about my home life, and Erin just put her hand on me and started crying. So, of course, I started crying, and to make a really long story short, this wasn't a planned meeting. Erin invited me into her life, and in doing so, she taught me that God sees me and cares for me. So remember, discipleship is often caught, not taught. And a quick thought before moving on to the actual meeting. As you hang out with them, these people you disciple may become some of your closest friends. And that's great. You may hang out with them all the time, but still schedule the time to intentionally talk about the things of God. For example, Bonnie and I probably iMessage and Slack each other an absurd amount. Like, we're just those crazy texting people about corgis and weenie dogs and cheese fries and the stuff of life. But we still find separate times to intentionally talk through how we're growing in Christ. Because there's just something about setting aside the time. Okay, so we have finally gotten to what do we do when we meet with them? And if you're anything like me, when I was a first-time leader, I literally had no idea what to do. And I want to encourage you that it's actually not as hard as you think, and it's also not as magical as you might think. So let's walk through this step by step. So before you meet with them, take some time to pray and prepare. Yes. Discipleship takes preparation. It is a labor of love. So pray. Ask God how you can partner with what He wants to do in their lives. Ask the Lord if there's any way He or she needs to be affirmed, challenged, comforted. And prayer reminds us that it's not up to us, that we are partnering with what God wants to do. And prepare. Is there anything from the previous meeting that needs follow-up? Or based on your prayer time, do you have any new ideas for their spiritual life? Is there anything that you want to teach them? And if the answer is yes, just prepare beforehand. For example, if you're praying for Sarah and you remember that she often seems busy and stressed, perhaps talking to her about the Sabbath would be great. And there's nothing wrong with writing things down in preparation or setting reminders on your phone. I literally forget things all the time. Maybe I wouldn't suggest writing it on your hand if it's something private, but you could just write down. Ask Emily how things are going with her sweet mate next time we meet. Done. Next, during your time together. Okay, so on your notes, there's a line. On one side of the line, write relationship. Or in parentheses, informal. And the other side of the line, write content, parentheses, formal. Now imagine this line as a continuum. Mark where you feel like you would fall in the continuum when it comes to how you think you might disciple. Everyone has a leaning and a strength. It's just important that you realize what that leaning is. Both are important. We're going to talk about that. But if you're leaning towards relational, you need to challenge yourself to bring in content or vice versa. Generally, for most people, we tend to tip on the relational side, and this is just important to be aware of as you plan and prepare for your times together. As we've said, discipleship flows from a relational context. So as a general rule, always process relationship before task. Because they might not always remember everything you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. So do all you can from your side to build a trust-filled relationship, especially when you're still getting to know them. It's important that they know that you care more about who they are than what they do or believe. And this requires openness on your part. Let them know who you are and who Christ is to you, and that you have problems and have been through hard stuff too. And ask good questions. This is the key to great conversation. There are resources on asking good questions and four areas to check on. That's personal, relational, emotional, spiritual. Some good examples of questions might be, where would you like to grow? What has God been speaking to you? Or what do you think of the message at TNL or what we talked about at Core Group? In general, regularly talk about their relationship with God, their relationship with others, the Christian worldview, working through patterns of sin. And by asking good questions, we can point them to Jesus rather than fix their problem, because it's way more powerful to learn through self-discovery than through a lecture, right? So you could ask, what do you think God's up to in this situation? Or what happens when you talk to God about this? What do you think Jesus wants you to do? Okay, so final comment about the relational side before moving to content is, remember to have fun. Discipleship is friendship. Have fun together. Just probably don't do something illegal. But on the other end of the spectrum, we want to be proactive, not always just reactive. Jesus had a trajectory in mind when he called his disciples. So yes, it's important to walk through whatever they're going through that week. But we also want our discipleship to matter after graduation, after you find a spouse, after you've gotten a job, that we talked about things that mattered. So a phrase I use often is, just crack something open. There are things that you have learned about walking with Christ that you can teach others. So a few thoughts. What if you turn to scripture instead of just paraphrasing it? I know I find myself doing this too often, but when I actually bring out the Bible, it turns the attention towards God and away from myself. Or what if you brought something from your own devotional life, the T part of ProAPT? Or what if you agreed to read something together before your next meeting? Or, and we also have resources available on our website specifically for leaders that were written to be used for the one-on-one setting. They're meant to make your job easier. So if you want to talk about Sabbath with Susie, check out the Sabbath resource, bring it to your meeting and say, hey, let's read this together and discuss these questions. We also have one-on-one resources available on our website, which we'll show you later. And these are written to be used in the one-on-one setting. They're meant to make your job easier. So if you wanted to talk about the Sabbath with Sarah, there's actually a resource on that. So you could just bring it to your one-on-one, read it together, and discuss the questions on the resource. It's as easy as that. Now remember that discipleship is transgenerational, so you want to teach them so that they can teach others. So there are things that I would recommend proactively teaching right off the bat, like how to read the Bible. So maybe you want to teach them ProAPT or whatever other mnemonic device you like, or how to pray. You know, teach them the Acts prayer plan. And sometimes you might pray and prepare to talk about prayer in a one-on-one, but Sarah's really had a rough week with her family and just stuff going on. So you forego what you planned and you spend your time together just being present with her in that And that's totally okay. That's what the Lord had for that time. And finally, what happens afterwards? Pray for them. I keep a piece of paper that has a list of the ladies that I meet with regularly as a reminder to pray for them. And record your meeting. Write down what you talked about. Prayer requests, or if there's anything that you guys plan to do in between meetings. It doesn't have to be weird. It can be in your journal or on a document on your laptop. I can remember the story of a mentor who would ask the same questions over and over again because he forgot that the person had already answered those questions. So recording the details means you care enough about their lives to want to remember it. So it doesn't have to be weird. But also stay in contact. Don't let core group, TNL, and your one-on-ones be the only time you talk to them. It's easy to forget that there was a time when you were a nervous first year, hoping to make lasting relationships. So be that for them. Hang out with them. I don't know what you do for fun, but hang out with them. Okay, so we're going to bring this to a close really soon, but I wanted to give you a few helpful tips. Tip number one, put the phone away. You know what? Consider not even putting it on the table, because there's just something different about having a conversation without a phone being present. If you need to check for time, maybe try a watch, or you can set a timer on your phone for 5 minutes before you gotta go to your next thing. Doesn't have to be strange or weird. You can just say, hey, I don't want to be distracted when we meet, and I know I have to be somewhere in an hour, so I'm going to set a timer. It might be weird at first, but I think doing so shows them their value. Tip two, find a place where people can truly be vulnerable. There's something I call the porn test. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Can you say the word porn where you are freely without people listening in? For example, Blue State on York. It's probably not the best place to facilitate vulnerability or confession because I literally think I can hear people's thoughts in there. So yeah, that's the porn test. Tip three. You can acknowledge friends that walk by, but don't let the environment around you take over your time. Don't ignore your friends, but just let them know that you are engaged in conversation. And finally, tip four, remember, you are just one part in their relationship with Christ. Remember, you are responsible to, not for. Okay, so let's really bring this to a close. And it would be wrong of me to go this whole podcast without mentioning that we are always growing in our discipleship and our ability to disciple others. My first year of leading a core group, I look back and I'm like, what did we even do? We literally never talked about Jesus at all, but we drank a lot of smoothies together. And in all of this, remember that Jesus is working in us as we disciple others. We're not called to one-on-one discipleship because we're better Christians or smarter or we've arrived at some spiritual level. And you'll discover that as you invest in others, you yourself will be stretched, challenged, and humbled. And you may discover that while at first it may look like you're helping others grow in their faith, they end up blessing your sanctification way more. So, discipleship team, I truly believe that God is going to do amazing things through every single one of you as we make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And I believe with all of my heart that God can bring revival to our campus one disciple at a time. We love you. We believe in you. Let's do this.
You've been listening to the Leadership Intensive Podcast. We'll see you next week.